There's a clip going the rounds, you may have seen it, I've certainly shown it to a few people, of a lady who is doing the theory part of her driving test. And the examiner asks, you see an old man and a kid in front of you, what do you hit? The old man, she said. After all, the kid has his whole life in front of him. Then the instructor says, the brakes, you hit the brakes. Okay. And I guess that story illustrates how easy it is in everyday life to miss the point. And missing the point is very much the theme of today's scriptures. So in Deuteronomy, we see that God is not honored by adding a multiplicity of do's and don'ts to the law that he has given to Moses. Quite simple, straightforward law, really. But by the way that we put our hearts into the way that we serve him. And the Apostle James says the same thing and gives us a great example of how to put our hearts into serving God. Pure, unspoilt religion in God's eyes, he says, is coming to the help of orphans and widows when they need it. And that's something that we intend to do for those poor people fleeing Afghanistan who definitely need our help right now. And I'll say something about that at the end of Mass. In the Gospel, the fact that the Pharisees and scribes have come all the way from Jerusalem to check out what Jesus was teaching means that they are taking very seriously what they've been hearing about his so-called cavalier approach to the law, such as hobnobbing with tax collectors and sinners and allowing his apostles to pick ears of grain, would you believe it, on the Sabbath. And now they ask him why his disciples break the tradition of the elders by eating with unwashed hands. But Jesus says, tradition's got nothing to do with it. Their problem is that they've added so many customs and human regulations to the traditional law of Moses that they have become more important to them than the actual true worship of God. And in a sense, you know, their idea was to make religion inseparable from daily life, which is not a bad one in theory. But as Frank Carson used to say, it's the way you tell them. And tying people down to all these add-ons rather than helping them to go to the heart of it, you know, to worship in spirit and truth, was never going to convince the true believer. As we know, sadly, the Taliban want to make religion inseparable from daily life by imposing unessential peripheral customs. For example, men having to grow full-grown beards and the hijab for women. But no one in their right mind thinks it's a good idea to force people through fear of torture or death to conform to those customs. What's the point of a religion like that if their hearts are not in it? It would be, as Jesus says, mere lip service. In his latest book, Let Us Dream, which I'm reading for the second time, it's that good, I really can't recommend it too highly, Pope Francis says this: in the history of the church, there have always existed groups who feel superior to the body of Christ. In our own time, there are those who will not accept Vatican II. In every case, what marks them out is rigidity, an attempt to cling on to something petty, which eventually turns into an ideology. In this way, they justify withholding themselves from the forward march of the people of God. Rather than throwing themselves into the great common task we all have of evangelizing our world in communion with the whole body of Christ, they remain huddled in their group of purists, self-appointed guardians of the truth, staying on the balcony while real life passes below. Rigidity is not tradition. Customs and things peripheral to our faith are not tradition either. Languages change, as do words. When I was a boy, for example, gay meant happy. Tradition, what is tradition? Tradition is to hand on what we have received, not what we have added on. We Christians did not invent our faith. It was handed on to us by the apostles, who in turn received it from the Son of God himself. The essential foundational truths of our faith, of course, cannot change, but they do develop, taking into account the signs of the times, because in every generation, and indeed in every culture, they are received in a different context. Human society never stays still. It's always developing. Our task, then, is to listen, to understand, and to interpret God's word for the people of today, so that we can faithfully hand on the treasure that we have received as fully and as clearly as we possibly can. And the way to do that, of course, is not to get hung up on human regulations or outward shows of piety, but to love God and our neighbour from the heart, because that's the place where the decisions we make as free human beings are taken. It's the place where true religion and commitment to God actually is